It's Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. For a political comedian, these might be both the best of times and the worst of times. And for stand-up Hari Kondabolu, the worst has never felt closer to home. He's receiving more contentious reactions to his jokes and opinions on social media than ever before. His new album, Mainstream American Comic, tackles these issues head-on and makes the case that race, gender, and politics should be mainstream comedy.
This summer, Kondabolu is keeping himself quite busy. He's got regular TV appearances, a new podcast, and a packed tour in support of that new album. And straight off the heels of the Democratic National Convention, Kondabolu makes his Milwaukee debut Sunday evening at Turner Hall.
WUWM comedy contributor Matt Kemple caught up with Kondabolu recently. They begin their conversation by observing the extraordinary climate that this summer is providing for a political comedian.
Wow, what a time to be a politic comic right now. One, it's probably great for writing new material, but it's also got to be really frustrating because you're so passionate about those issues.
It's scary in some ways because I think Trump was an incredible joke for quite some time until it got real. And now all of a sudden, for me, it's like, I don't know if this is worth the jokes anymore. I talk a lot about like race in my act and the big issues I care about. And I've noticed more than ever that I'm getting hate mail online and death threats at a pace I'm not used to. Like, yeah, I'm used to it. I'm a person of color who talks about race in a critical fashion. Like, certainly I'm expecting some of it. But of late, I feel like there is a certain kind of hateful person who is allowed now to say their points of view publicly because Donald Trump is a candidate. I mean, that's the part that's scary.
One thing I love about your style is you can have these just really obscure references, but you'll take the time and, you know, half the joke is actually explaining the joke to the audience. And I wondered, you know, did you set out to kind of have that style?
Yeah, it started as necessity, you know, like especially when you're starting to do comedy, you know, you're not supposed to explain everything, that the jokes are best when, you know, you assume like when they have like tight word economy, you know, when
right.
you're not wasting language. I mean, my friend Mike Kaplan, I think, is incredible because every word is supposed to be there. I have the opposite of that style in a lot of ways because, you know, I meander a bit or, you know, I'm not going to shy away from a reference that people do not get. Because sometimes I feel like, well, that's the perfect reference. That is the joke, and if they don't get it, they will by the end of it. And it's through that explanation you get a whole series of other jokes that come through the explanation. So it was built out of necessity, but it's also become a cool stylistic thing. And I feel like I have like a fairly like academic style to begin with, like definitely a victim of overeducation. And I feel like that comes across in the stuff. Like you definitely, you know, it wasn't the plan, but certainly I'm more inclined to do that now. To explain the joke because I find new angles in it when I explain it.
Oh, sure. Well, and one of my favorite examples of the way that you do that is I just recently watched one of your clips where you talk about the black woman with the white baby telling him
the baby named Toby.
I was walking around Park Slope, and I see a black woman pushing a stroller with a white baby in it. And it's fair to assume that that's the nanny and the child she's taking care of, right? Now, there's other possibilities here, right? It's possible that child is this woman's partner's child from a previous relationship. Certainly possible. Also, genetics is very complicated. Maybe that was her child. There's also a third possibility, right, which is the least likely possibility, but the one I really want it to be. And that possibility is that this is a rich black woman who just bought herself the ultimate luxury item, a white baby. Well, you see, we were in inner city Stockholm last year, and we just had to have one. I mean, we bought two, but one died in the shipping. You know how baby shipping goes. You know how baby shipping goes. It's a common problem in our circles. Chances are that's not what happened. Chances are that's the nanny and the child she's taking care of. Now, I'm trying to walk by these two people on the street when I overhear what the black woman is saying to the white child. This is what she's saying. Your name is Toby. Can you say it? That's your name. Your name is Toby. Say it. Your name is Toby. It's Toby. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8. But
and you look out at the audience, you say, you know, like, oh, I think only 10 of you know this reference. Let
right.
me break this down for you. And it was just so fun because it gives the audience sort of an excuse to not know. And they're like, oh, okay,
yeah.
cool. We can listen and learn something. And, you know, let's brace ourselves for what this is going to be.
You want to be in the conversation, essentially. And the only way to be in the conversation is to start the conversation.
Are you hoping to change people's minds? Are you hoping to just, what's your goal as far as, you know, presenting your jokes to the audience?
I just want to be funny. Yeah, I mean, I'm a comedian. You know, I feel like I'm not going to change people's minds magically because of a well-written joke. I don't believe that to be true. Stand-up, for me, should be honest. It has to come from an honest place. And the points of view that I'm expressing, I express them not because they're liberal things to say or because this is the world I want to shape. It's because that's how I feel. It's scary to go up there. It's a weird thing to go up there. Like, comedians are sick. The idea that they can't settle for the love and laughter of their friends and family, but they need to appease strangers. Like, it's a very bizarre addiction that we have. You know, and even when you repeatedly bomb on stage and you keep coming back, I mean, you know, we're suckers for punishment. Even the best comics are working on new material that bombs, like the nature of new material in comedy, right? It's a great equalizer. And, you know, that's why the form is incredible, but it's also, like, why it's so hard.
Where do you think the mainstream American comic is going?
And I think the mainstream American comic is going to go, you know, wherever we take it. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous answer, but like, as the country changes and as we have people who are exposed to comedy at a younger age and are adding so many layers to it at an earlier age, like, that's shaping it. And as our society changes, I mean, comedy both reflects and shapes the world, right? I think comedy is going to go where society goes in terms of, like, material and ideas. And we're definitely feels like we're right now in a period of great change. So, you know, that's one thing. And all. And again, like, I think because you have younger people watching comedy, like, you know, I wasn't watching comedy on the internet when I was 12, you know, like, it was gradual. And you have kids now that can see everything so quickly. And so if they're doing stand-up, their senses of humor are more developed, and they also know that there's not just one way to tell a joke. So, I mean, that in terms of where comedy is going, I think it certainly reflects what's happening in society and how society gets shaped. In terms of why I called the record mainstream American comic, there's a bunch of reasons. I mean, one, there's a joke where I say the phrase mainstream American comic and my desire to be seen as a mainstream American comic. And that's important to me because I feel like my issues, whether they're, you know, talking about racism or sexism or what I find frustrating in the world or my relationship with my parents, that is part of the American experience, even if it historically hasn't been seen as that. You know, my parents' immigrant experience, my experience as a first-generation person born in this country, my experiences in the post-9/11 world, those are all American experiences, and I feel like it's important for those experiences to shape the larger conversation. They should be mainstream things. They shouldn't be niched. And so, and issues of justice, right, which I'm very passionate about, those should not be niche discussions. They have to be mainstream discussions. So, you know, certainly one reason I call it mainstream American comic is when people Google mainstream America or mainstream American, I want my album to come up.
Ooh.
I want that to be an image that they see. This is what Americans can look like. And the cover is another reason, you know, is another part of that. Like, it's me on the front cover wearing, you know, an American flag jacket, looking equally sexy and ridiculous.
When something tragic happens, do you try to find the humor in it right away, or is that something that takes a little time?
I mean, first of all, just in terms of, you know, I think comedy is very important because it's an ability, it gives us the ability to share our stories. And when we talk about uniting, I don't think we can easily unite unless we see each other as equals and unless we understand each other's experiences. And that requires lots of listening, you know, and that's, again, the importance of the points of view that I'm sharing or other people of color and women and you know, and LGBTQ people, you know, when they share their stories, they're also saying we're a part of this country. So when we're going to unite, you have to understand where we're coming from too, because there's a lot of parallels in our lives to yours, and you just don't know it. I mean, my first instinct is to write. It doesn't necessarily mean write jokes. My first instinct is to write. I don't know how else to deal with the world, to process it, you know, other than, you know, either comedy or writing something down. And initially, you know, I think especially because of Twitter, you know, some of the early tweets might not be funny. Like, I'm just going to put down some things I'm thinking about and just put it out there. You see also how people resonate or don't resonate with an idea, and sometimes later on that shapes the joke, the reaction to a thought. But it's difficult, especially with gun violence, right? Because whenever people make jokes about certain things that are touchy, people will say too soon. Well, it's hard joking about gun violence in this country because it's always too soon. As soon as you think you can talk about it, another thing happens. Another terrible tragedy happens. It's always too soon to talk about gun violence in this country. So that becomes really, really tricky, because I think a key part of being able to talk about things is either you find a really clever way, dance around some of the more sensitive, difficult areas, or I think you use the old tragedy plus time equals comedy. You have enough time to reflect, and it doesn't hurt as much. It's really difficult with some of the things we're dealing with, whether it's terrorism or gun violence or, oh my God, police brutality. Those are, you know, for me, that's kind of bread and butter. Those are the kinds of issues that, when I read about them, I'm like, you know, this is what interests me, analyzing this and trying to draw something positive out of this pain. But yeah, I think it's really difficult right now in this country.
Thank you so much, Hari, for taking time out of your day to speak with me. And I hope to see you at your show here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've never gotten to perform for Milwaukee crowds, and I hear they're fantastic. So, you know, I can't wait to perform, and I can't wait for people to hear the record.
Comedian Hari Kondabolu speaking with WUWM's comedy contributor Matt Kempel. Kondabolu performs at Turner Hall Ballroom this Sunday evening at 7:30 in support of his new album, Mainstream American Comic. His new podcast is called Politically Reactive.